The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is John chapter 1, 6 to 8, and 19 to 28, our gospel lesson just read. You may be seated. Forensic TV shows are popular and have been for many years. Forensic science is the scientific method of gathering and examining information about the past, which is then used in a court of law. TV shows featuring this science have included, some of you may remember some of the older ones, Quincy M.E., Dexter, The Mentalist, CSI, Hawaii 5-0, Cold Case, Bones, Law and Order, Body of Proof, NCIS, Criminal Minds, Silent Witness, Case Closed, Midsommar Murder, and Waking the Dead. As much as forensic science has made great advances, especially in the 20th century, most court cases still rely heavily on eyewitness accounts and the abilities of a lawyer to persuade the jury. In one of the court cases where I served as a juror in Chicago, the eyewitness proved to be the clincher of the case. The defendant was accused of driving out of control through an intersection, with the result that his car careened onto the property of a gas station, demolishing the gas pumps, the island roof, and the gas station side that faced the main boulevard. The eyewitness of the property damage was the owner of the gas station, who stood there terrified as all this destruction happened. And he happened to be the defendant's best friend. When the station owner testified how the defendant was driving erratically and out of control and it caused all that damage, and then the defendant admitted that the station owner was his best friend, there was no reasonable doubt about what had happened or who had done it. In our gospel lesson this morning, we are introduced to John the Baptist, a relative of Jesus who became an eyewitness to Jesus' identity. John the Baptist, as you know, was the son of Elizabeth, and Jesus was the son of Mary. Luke 1:36 says that Elizabeth and Mary were relatives, although it does not give the exact relationship. We can presume from this and from other stories that John and Jesus knew each other and their respective parents as they were growing up. When Jesus came to John to be baptized, John said, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Matthew 3:14. Thus, even before Jesus' baptism, John had some suspicion that Jesus was at least a great prophet, if not something more. Whatever sneaking suspicions John may have had about Jesus were settled at the moment of Jesus' baptism. When Jesus walked out of the Jordan River, the heavens above him opened up. The Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove, and a voice came out of the heavens saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Matthew 3:16 to 17. John was an eyewitness of this event, and he told the crowds of people later, I quote, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down in the form of a dove and remain is he who will be baptized who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. John 1, 32 to 34. From this passage, we see that John had three vital functions in Jesus' work of the salvation of mankind. First, John prepared the way of the Lord, John 1, 23, by teaching the people about the Messiah from the Old Testament and by telling them to repent. Second, John introduced the sacrament of baptism to the church, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, Luke 3, verse 3. Third, after seeing the Spirit alight on Jesus and hearing the voice of the Father from heaven, John became an eyewitness that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah and the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1, 29. This matter of eyewitness testimony to Jesus is no small matter. Jesus was, of course, God. But if you don't know that and believe that truth, his work of salvation will do you no good. John's eyewitness testimony convinced many of his disciples to follow Jesus, John 1, 35 to 42. Some of these former disciples of John became Jesus' own apostles, and who then carried their own eyewitness of Jesus' doctrine and works to the nations through their preaching and through the authorship of the four Gospels. Christianity is thus founded and established on eyewitness testimony. Martin Luther comments about the role of the eyewitness of John the Baptist in his sermons on the Gospel of John. In these comments, Luther's comments about the sectarians, fanatics, and schismatics apply to liberal Protestants, Pentecostals, and charismatics in our day. This is a bit of a quote, but it's worth listening to. Commenting then on verses 6 and 7 of our text from John 1, Luther states, I quote, "These words hurl another thunderbolt against the sectarians and fanatics of our own day, for these visionaries despise the oral word. And now mark well the words of our text, which are intended to honor the external word. These desperate rogues, the fanatics, would like to drive us to the point where the light, that is Christ, would be hidden from us. They say, it is the Spirit and only the Spirit that must work everything. If their assumption were correct, it would have been superfluous for John to be sent by God to bear testimony. For then all the people would have been moved directly by the Spirit to accept Jesus as the Messiah, especially since the Spirit himself was active in their midst with his message and miracles. But it did not work out this way. No, the people took offense at Jesus' lowly figure. For this reason, it was necessary for John to come with his external word or testimony, to point with Christ with his finger and to say, this is he. There was no other means or method. As we have already said, I'm continuing with Luther here, Christ himself let his light shine with word and deed, perform miracles before their very eyes, helped all the sick that were brought to him, taught and preached with such power that the people were astonished. Still, all this bore little fruit. The schismatic spirits of our day, on the other hand, lay claim to better ways and means of conversion. However, they do not convert to God himself, but to the devil. They are so full of the fanatical spirit, they do not realize how much is required to overcome and vanquish one's own mistaken ideas, opinions, and conceit. It takes toil and trouble to engender faith in people by the God-ordained means of the preaching ministry, absolution, and the sacrament of the altar. Even John could not persuade all of his hearers to give credence to his testimony, to accept Christ and acknowledge that he is the light and life of mankind and the Savior of the world. Now, if even John failed to persuade all the Jews to believe his testimony, what ground do these blasphemous fanatics have to stand on with their claim that the Spirit, yes, the Spirit, must accomplish it? To be sure, it is the Spirit that drives them and speaks out of them, but that Spirit comes out of the abyss of hell. Therefore, beware of them. That's found in Luther's Works, Volume 22. End of quote. In Luther's theology and the Lutheran confessions, the external spoken and written word and the external sacraments are what bring about repentance, conversion, and building up of faith in the converted. The Holy Spirit does not work apart from the Scriptures, the spoken word of the apostles, or the sacraments, as Luther explains in the small called Articles, Part 3, Article 8, on confession. And so we today, we still depend on the eyewitness of John the Baptist and the eyewitness of Jesus' apostles for the creation and sustenance of your own faith and your hope and your love. May our Lord continue to strengthen you in such faith until his kingdom comes and you receive the promise of everlasting life in him. In Jesus' name, amen.